I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing again to be here to worship together with the saints, with believers, and good to see you all here. Some visitors here this morning, welcome to our worship. May God bless you. May you lift me up in prayer, and as we look at the message that God has laid on my heart, and the message this morning is, I suppose, God directs our thoughts in happenings in our lives, and with the developments that brought me to preach this morning with Brother Sherman to go back home to meet the needs there with the death and family there. Given the message title this morning, The Brevity of Life. You can open your Bibles to our text is in Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 4. O Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. So I'd like to think this morning of the measure of life and the frailness of life. And as an introduction, I'm going to read Psalm 39. Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. Open not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. So let's consider the measure of life. David said in this psalm that he asked God to make him know his end. The end of our lives is death. What a sobering thought. There's verses in the Bible that show this measure and show this frailness. He said, make me to know how frail I am. The measure of life. There's verses in the Bible that tell us that the measure is few. The measure of our days, it's few. And we look in Genesis and we look at the men that lived for hundreds of years before the flood. They lived for hundreds of years, and that seems like a long time. And even after the flood, there was men that lived for hundreds of years. But the days became fewer and fewer. Their days became fewer and fewer. Genesis 47, verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, when he was brought before Pharaoh by his son Joseph, he said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. You know anyone, personally, do you know anyone that's that old today, 130? I don't personally. There's perhaps some people in the world that are close, I understand, in Asia, in the Himalayan mountains, in the Himalayan climate, there are some people that live to be well over 100. But there's not many. But Jacob said, in the next breath, he said, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Job, in Job 10, 20, he said, "Are not my days few?" And again, in chapter 14, he said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days." The days are few. Job had a lot to say about life, about the shortness of life. Because he was close to death. And he was looking at life that had just perished in front of him. His world had come crashing down, as we say sometimes, had come crashing down around him as Satan tried to turn him away from God by taking away everything that he could, everything that God would allow him to take away. His health, his possessions, his relationships. And so Job said things like this, and it gives us pictures in our minds that teach us the measure of life. Words from the scripture that teach us the measure of life. He said, Job 7, verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." And that's a term that we hear. There's a song, at least that I'm familiar with, that time is gliding like the shuttle of a weaver. And I don't know how many of you have seen a weaver at work on a loom. In Job's day, the loom was not as advanced as it is now. Not as advanced as it even was 100, 200 years ago. But it was still something that gave a picture about how fast. How many have ever seen a loom operate? Okay, so quite a few of you know what the shuttle is. It's that part that moves back and forth between the vertical or horizontal threads, and it takes that thread back and forth and does that, the weaving process of making the fabric. In the mechanized looms, that shuttle is very swift, almost faster than the eye. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Then he said, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away," he says. A post, you may not be so familiar with that today, except when we think about the post office. Well, the post was in Job's day, was the messenger, the one that carried the king's messages throughout the empire, you might say, or from one area to another. They carried those messages, and they would carry them swiftly. I think about the Pony Express and the swiftness of those mail carriers, and how in just a matter of days they could take the mail over 1,000 miles, and it was very swift. But Job said, my days are swifter than that. He says they are passed away as the swift ships. We don't live close to the ocean, so we don't get to see ships. The barges that go up and down the rivers here are rather slow and cumbersome. But the swift ships, the ones that are built for speed, and so soon they're over the horizon, disappear. And then he says, this is all in the same couple of verses here. He says, they are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. This is the measure of our days. According to the scripture, how fast does the eagle come down on its prey? Some of the eagles can dive at even over 200 miles an hour. Very swift. The hawks dive swiftly. Do your days seem like that? Do they seem swift, like an eagle? Does it feel like a dive? You know, as we get older, we begin to realize how swift they are. At least that's how I found it. So, for the older people this morning, I'm not telling you anything. But these are the words of the scripture. For the young people this morning, the children, as your life seems to stretch out before you, and years seem to take a while, the time is swiftly passing. Psalm 90. Well, let's turn to Psalm 90. This is a psalm, a precious psalm that we probably one of the best loved and one of the most familiar psalms. It's there among the list, maybe of the top 10 in psalms. It's a prayer of Moses, and it compares God, the everlasting God, with man. And measures man's life in comparison to the everlasting God. We'll just look at a few verses here, but verse 5 and 6. Psalm 95 and 6, thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and evening is cut down and withereth. So let's think of all, first of all, this, thou carriest them away, he's talking about people. Because in verse 3 he says, thou turnest man to destruction, and then says, return, ye children of men, so on. And so the life of people, the measure of the days is like a sleep, which is relatively short, especially if you're the one sleeping. You're not conscious of that passing of time. It seems very, very short, especially if you have to get up early. You know, you've probably done that already, where you go to bed and you need to get up early, and in no time the alarm clock is ringing, and it seems like you just laid down as asleep. And then he says it's as grass. It says grass that flourishes, grows up in the morning, and the evening is cut down and withereth. Verse 9 and 10. For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So, he says here that our days are as a tale. Now, what's a tale? Well, it's a story. Somehow the word tale gives it a little different connotation to me today. But it's a story, is what we would say today. Someone tells a story in an evening of visiting or at work. Someone tells a story of something that happened. It's a short thing. It's not long. Scripture says that our years are as a tale that is told. And yet he says that they're 80 years and 10, which is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, there's 80. Now, I know at least one person here this morning that has more birthdays than 80. I don't know if there's more than one or not, but I don't know that there's very many, many here that are over 70. So we haven't even reached that yet. And yet I'm sure the children sitting on the benches look at some of us adults and think they are old. Don't you remember how it was when you were in Sunday school and your preschool, early days of school, and you looked at, I remember distinctly Brother Sam Swaggart at Honeybrook Mennonite Church, and I just thought he was just an old, old, old man. And he was. He was in his 60s then, I believe. Now my dad is that age. And it hardly seems that long. But Moses writes this, and he brings this 70, 80 years and compares it with the 1,000 years in verse 4. See, he's comparing it to everlasting God, the measure of our days. And he says in verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight, in God's sight, the way God looks at it, 1,000 years is just like yesterday. Now think about yesterday, Saturday. You remember what you did? Remember everything you did? Well, you could, if you sat down and thought about it, you'd compile your day, I think, pretty well. Pretty close. Well, that's how God would look at 2018. He'd go right down over the list just like we would compile yesterday. That's how God compares. And so what's 80 years even? What's that in comparison to 1,000? It's just a couple of minutes in the whole scan of the day. And so it's just the time it takes to tell a story. It's the measure of our days. And we already read Psalm 39, verse 5, that it says that, talking about measuring now for real, you want a physical measurement that shows how long your life is. It's this long right here. Psalm 39, verse 5 says that my days... Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. So in the physical world, in the physical universe, when we think about distances, our life is this wide, this long. In comparison, what is it? It's nothing. It's really nothing. And he says that in Psalm 39, verse 5, my age is as nothing before thee. That makes me feel very insignificant and very small. And what is my life? The scriptures say this, my breath is corrupt. This is Job's words. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. That's really, it's gloomy. And we know that God made Adam out of dust. And he told him, after Adam and Eve had sinned, that from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And we know that happens. That is the process of our physical body. Upon death, it begins to corrupt and decay. And the grave that stands there before us, Proverbs 30, verse 15 and 16 says that one of the four things that say it is not enough is the grave. So, maybe I'm getting into the frailness of life here. As my first thought under that, the frailness of life is that we are just dust and ashes. Abraham said, this was Abraham, a friend of God. He said, Genesis 18, behold now, I have taken upon me, speaking of the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He was interceding for Lot at that juncture, and he was realizing that he was nothing before God, but simply dust and ashes. God had created him out of dust. But here's a comfort. Here's a comforting verse. We are significant in God's eyes. He does care about us, even though we are just a handbreadth in the measurement of things. We are important to God. He cares about us. Psalm 103. Let's turn to Psalm 103. I'll just read a few verses. I think we'll start at the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That's what we see, right? When we're looking at the grave, when we're looking at the end, we're looking at the measure of our days and how frail we are. We see that destruction there at the end, but God redeems our life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And here's the verse, the precious verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We're frail. God knows it. God knows that. He knows that we made us that way. David said this way when his running from Saul. King Saul was pursuing him and hated him because of his envy and his jealousy and of David's popularity. And David said, there's just a step between me and death. And it must have been very real for him in the The fact that he was being pursued by someone, he didn't know where Saul's men were lurking. They were out to get him. He says there's but a step between me and death, and yet that's how it is for us all. Our life is frail. The Bible gives us other word pictures that show the frailness. Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4 says, O Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? We talked about this insignificant sense that comes over us when we think about this. What is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. You know how a shadow is really has no substance to it. But it's there. You can see it, but it can be gone quickly. Shadow. And Job again, he says it's like talking about something that's frail or just very hard to put substance to or contain or keep stable. He says that my life is wind. That's in Job 7. He says, as a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. We know how the clouds disappear. And they break up and vanish away. It's a wind and a cloud. Psalm 78, for he remembereth that we are but flesh. This is talking about God. We are but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. So frail. And we know in the New Testament that James, the writer in the New Testament, James 4:14 says, he's on the same thought. He says that, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now we're familiar with a vapor, something that we can see. And I know for myself and for the children this morning, you know how it is in the winter when it's cold outside, maybe snow on the ground or the ground's frozen. It's cold enough that you can see your breath. How many of you have ever seen that? You go outside and you see that little cloud when you breathe out warm air into the cool air and it condenses. But it's just a little time, isn't it? And you can't see it anymore. It's a vapor that vanisheth. That's how frail our life is. And then there's many scriptures that talk about that our life is like flower. It's frail like the flower. It's frail like the grass. If you still have your Bibles open to Psalm 103, let's read a few more verses here. Verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We see the wildflowers here in Missouri. We have lots of wildflowers that we see in the summertime, springtime. But you know, when the warm winds of summer, the hot winds of summer, those dry winds come along, and so soon those flowers are gone. And the grass withers. First Peter 1:24, another New Testament verse. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It's So he's saying, and these are Old Testament thoughts, he's saying that flesh or mankind is like the grass. And you know how the grass in the spring comes up green, and the spring rains come and it gets greener. And just like we had last week with that rain, you could just about the next day or two see that fresh green coming again. But so soon, that grass fades, that green fades and it withers the same way with the flowers. The glory of man, the glory of physical strength of man, physical intelligence. It's like it's a fire glass. It fades away. The Bible in James 1, verse 10 and 11, has a special message to the rich about this. And I think that we are among the rich in this world. I know we are. How many of you have seen the book, Life in the Global Village? You seen that book? Read through it? If you haven't, you should take a look at that. It's very thought-provoking and helps us to put in perspective our life with the lives of billions of other people in the world. James 1, verse 10, 11, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So what do we do when we have needs? We go buy something, don't we? That's what we do in the lifestyle that we have here in the United States. If we have needs, we go buy it. Or we borrow and we buy it. But God has a special message to us about the frailty of life and how short it is. And that riches cannot prevent this, which Job says that our life is like a leaf. And he says that about, as he talks to God, he says, wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? God, are you going to, as insignificant as leaves are you going to pursue me? He's questioning how God is dealing with him. Then Isaiah says the same thing. He says, we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's why we have this. That's why we have this death. It's because of the sin. The sin of our father, first father, Adam. And that sin has, we all partake in that. We all partake in that because we are sinners. And so we have this. The wages of sin, it's death. Here's an interesting picture. I'm sure most of you have already set up a tent or slept in a tent. Maybe at a campground, wherever it might have been in your backyard. And you notice how when you took the tent down, the grass was flattened out, especially if it was there a couple days. You've seen that. But then within a little day or two or three, you couldn't even tell the tent was there. There was no sign that it was there. Well, here's a verse that from Isaiah. It says, my age is departed and removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver of my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. And what he's saying there is that so quickly life is gone. So quickly. It's just taking away the shepherd's tent, moves it to another spot, and it's, you can't even tell it was there. And so quickly can you take that tent down and move it. It's just that quick. And no matter how much we hate that, how much we push against it, there is no power in us to prevent that. The scriptures are clear. Psalm 22, verse 29, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. Psalm 89. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore thou hast thou made all men in vain. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No. There is none that has power to keep alive his own soul. Well, these thoughts, they turn me to God. They don't turn me to man. They don't spur me on to humanistic thinking at all. We talked about that destruction that faces us all. That's why God sent Jesus. Turn with me to John 3:16. None of us can keep alive our own soul. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. But have what? Everlasting life. Yes, everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I'm going to read verse 50 to the end of the chapter here. This is the resurrection chapter. And verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Remember that. The grave that was not satisfied. Someday. Swallowed up in victory. Now, let's keep reading here. We're going to learn a little more about this victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's John 3:16. The victory over death is through our Lord Jesus Christ as we accept his offer of salvation. We can have everlasting life. We can have victory over death. Yes, we are subject to that, subject to death. But we have the hope. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we can also be resurrected because of Jesus redeeming us. And so our lives are not in vain. As we're serving the Lord, as we've given our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and are serving him, our lives are not in vain. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a reward for serving the Lord Jesus. That reward, it is more than just getting to heaven, I believe. There is a reward that, and yet what more can I say than that? Eternal life in heaven or eternal death? The destruction for eternity? What more reward can we have? And yet there's so much that God will do in eternity. I can't wait to experience that. So, let's ponder this, the brevity of life. And may it draw us towards God. Let's kneel together in prayer.